Hello and welcome to the PR podcast series dedicated to understanding the art of public relations for business. In today's episode, we are going to be looking at the pros and cons of short-term and long-term marketing and PR communications. When you are planning and executing your communications, are you doing it to get a customer tomorrow or to build your brand profile and reputation to get customers in 6 months or a year from now? Or maybe you're trying to do both at the same time. This might seem like an esoteric question, but it turns out to be a very important one, the answer to which is likely to have repercussions on the development and long-term success of any enterprise. My name is Dave Harris, and joining me today to talk about the importance of recognizing and implementing short and long-term communications, I have two expert contributors. PR specialist Verity Blake is my regular guest. Verity runs Head on PR, who are the originators and sponsors of this podcast series. Head on PR are a Cheltenham-based creative PR agency. My second guest today is Chris Moody, founder of Mobius Strategy Limited. Chris is a brand strategist with more than 25 years of experience under his belt. He says most brands don't have a sales problem, they have a buying problem. And he helps his clients create a better buying environment for their brand. Thank you both for joining me today on the podcast. So, Chris, I've got to ask you first, what is a buying problem and how does it relate to this issue of short-term versus long-term communications? Because I know you have strong views about that.
Thanks, Dave. Lovely to be here. What I mean by the brands don't have a sales problem is that focuses their attention on themselves, on their businesses, and if only they did something more or something different, they could solve that problem. When in fact, they be better served by focusing their attention on their customers and potential customers. The reason that I call it a buying problem is because many of their potential buyers don't know enough or don't understand enough about their business, their brand, their products and services to want to buy them or to be able to buy them. And that's where the issue of short and long-term marketing comes in. If a business or brand is focused solely on short-term activity, the people that you will attract are the people who have a need for your product or service now, or as you said in your introduction, today and tomorrow, whereas most of your potential customers have no need for you right now, but they may have a need for you in the future. And that's where I talk about this balance of short and long-term.
Verity, in your world, in the world of PR, you presumably have to provide short and long-term strategies for your clients. Do you have to advise them on that and educate them on that and sort of, or does it depend, is it case by case basis?
Yeah, it does tend to be case by case basis, but what we try to do more and more with clients now is to do like an integrated campaign, because long and short term brand awareness is best when it's working together. Often companies say, let's do one or the other, but actually the better results is if you've got the two complementing each other. So we could do some short term email marketing or direct mail through social media, but that should always be complemented by some long-term activity in order to build that brand and consistency, that brand awareness over a long period of time. And we can do that through things like thought leadership, that's case studies. It's almost like this thing that actually Chris mentioned about sort of building that fame around the organization, building their awareness, getting them out there, so that you've got that captive short-term activity, which might sort of bottom of the funnel activity, which might capture a few customers there and then that are willing to buy there and then. But then you should have it running alongside that is your long-term strategy, where you're building that customer awareness, you're building that brand awareness and loyalty, if you like, with your customer.
Yeah, and Chris, I guess Verity makes a very good point there about, you know, you've got to do short and long term at the same time, ideally. I wonder in your world of brand strategy, whether you could give us very quickly examples of the difference between short and long term and how that actually works in practice.
The long term is where I'm not actually looking to make a sale or generate an immediate direct response action straight away. I'm doing something to build awareness, fame, as Verity referred to, and consideration, so that you've learned something about me. You maybe spend some time with my business or brand. So it might be that I talk about expert content or white paper, as Verity was talking about, case studies, where I give content away. I share my expertise in a way that makes people interested. So they might not be in the market to buy from me today, But they're interested in hearing what I have to say. They're interested in understanding my opinion on the world. That might involve some form of data capture or value exchange where they sign up for newsletters or they sign up to download a piece of content that would be useful or valuable to them. And then the short-term actions that you take off the back of that is how I communicate with you in the future, now that you've shown your interest in what I might have to say. And that can lead to more sales activating short-term activities as you come. And that's what the point about planning your activities in advance, making sure that you're integrating your long and short-term. So if you're doing some long-term brand building, what do you do with the people who show interest, who put their hands up and say, that was great, I'm interested, tell me more about this sort of thing? They might not want to buy from you today, but they've shown that they're interested. And if you think about things as a relationship, if someone said that to you in a bar or they started talking to you at a party, you wouldn't then just ignore them for the rest of the party because you've had a conversation with them and you might want to follow up and have subsequent conversations with them. So that's the idea of planning and making sure that you have that in your head before you start your campaigns. How are you going to respond to people who show interest in what you're saying?
And Verity, when you're doing stuff that is aimed at brand building, which I guess is a lot of what you're doing, I mean, are your clients conscious that this is something that, you know, is not going to give them jam today, as it were? It is building their reputation. It is, you know, it is hopefully further down the line, there's going to be a good return for that investment in that time.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they do understand that it's not, and you know, if you're looking at the long term and you are building the brand awareness, that's what they're looking for. Is often it's companies that come to us because they've got an ambitious strategy to maybe treble the business within 12 months. And so they need something that, well, they need the mix of short term and long term, but they want to build that sustainable, stronger pipeline and accelerate that growth. And that's where the long term comes in. Particularly with the long term, there's a lot of research that shows that, you know, if you're more familiar with a brand, you trust, you're building that trust. Not only do you build that loyalty in that brand, but also you're more willing to pay. You know, the buyer is willing to pay more for that product or service because of that reassurance, that familiarity. So that, again, contributes to the accelerated growth of a business that, you know, has ambitious growth plans.
And Chris, Verity referred to research there. What is the research in this area and how robust is it? You know, how do we know that this stuff really works?
Well, what I'm talking about is it refers to a paper that's actually published by the Institute of Practitioners in Advertising, or IPA. It's available online. It's called The Long and the Short of It. It refers more to B2C consumer brand studies, but it has examples and a data bank that goes back more than 20 years now of brand case studies and award-winning campaigns where they have measured and looked at short-term effects on sales and long-term effects and the rate of return and profitability and the nature of those campaigns. This is all based on empirical data and on the companies, the clients' reports of the campaign as well. So their perceptions of how effective it was. And all of this evidence has led to the need for a balance of long-term and short-term because they work in different ways. Short-term activation campaigns drive needs and responses in people who are in the market for your product or service now at this moment. Long-term activity builds, as we've been talking, associations, memory structures, trust, confidence in a brand over time, such that the short-term activity works more effectively when you then execute those campaigns later on. Without the long-term activity, your short-term campaigns will work, but they will drive a short-term return only.
And presumably, if you are only doing short-term, you've got to do it all the time.
Yes, because if you stop doing it, you have no other communications and people aren't aware of you and there's no residual awareness or built-up trust and confidence in your brand. You're only there when you're on air, effectively. And then you're easily forgotten. And this will come to the point that it's important for, it's probably more common in my experience in corporate brands, this attitude, but that people don't care about brands that much. They don't care. They're not thinking about you, your brand, your business most of the time. So that's where I talk about the importance of the long term is to get people to spend some time with you, even if that's minutes. That is more than nothing. And it's remembering that people aren't thinking about your brand anything like the amount that you're thinking about it.
Just adding to Chris's point that there's a in that same report that he shared is that there's a nice quote actually by Peter Drucker from the Post-Capitalist Society that says long-term results cannot be achieved by piling short-term results on short-term results. So it just shows that, you know, they are two separate things, and you can't just by consistently doing short-term activity think that it will build long-term brand awareness, because it, you know, it doesn't, as Chris points out.
A question I'd like to ask both of you now is about ROI, return on investment, because the business world is understandably often quite obsessed with ROI. And I wonder whether the ability to measure long-term marketing, PR strategies and that sort of thing, which I would have thought by definition is more difficult, you know, when compared to measuring short-term activity, which is obviously aimed at getting sales tomorrow, you know, does that concern with ROI from the accountancy departments, if we can make them the bad guys here, does that skew, do you think, the world of communication professionals away from long-term because of this obsession?
Yes, the writers of the reports that we've been talking about have noted over the last 10 years that, especially in the corporate world, short-termism has been increasing. So the more campaigns that they've been examining and exploring have been short-term in focus. And that is partly down to the changing nature of business and the importance of delivering quarter-on-quarter-on-quarter results. And also linked partly to media, where we are increasingly a digital-first society, where companies are looking to do things more digitally and online, because that's where we, the general population, and their customers are most of the time. And in contrast to things to more traditional, older school media, like, I don't know, print or direct mail, it is much easier to count the responses that you get to an online ad in terms of clicks or impressions or visits to a website. And so there's an ability to count things that we've not had before with older forms of media. The caveat and warning I would lead to that is a quote that's been attributed to Albert Einstein that says that not everything that can be counted counts. Meaning, just because you can measure it doesn't make it important. What's really important for businesses is to look at short and long-term performance metrics and use them both, rather than focusing solely on the how many clicks did I get. If I got a lot of clicks, that clearly makes it a good thing, right? Not necessarily. How did that lead to sales? How is that helping your retention of customers? All of those things you need to look at in the whole, rather than just the very specifics of, here's a piece of communications, did it generate 25 clicks or 250 clicks?
Yeah, and Verity, in your world, the you know, you must have this issue as well. Clients must say to you, you know, how do I measure this? How do I get the return on it? You know, how do I know I'm getting my money's worth, as it were? So how do you deal with those sorts of things, particularly with the longer term strategies?
Yeah, I think Chris said it right. Is that, you know, look at your sales, look at your retention, your customer retention, and that can only be achieved through long term activity rather than short term. Because as Chris said, people don't care about brands. So if you're not building that loyalty, that familiarity long term, then that's not going to be measurable, it's not going to be effective. So what we often do is go back to the client and say, well, with the long term, it is harder to measure. But what a lot of organisations don't do, and they should do, is get the lead generation data capture more effective within the sales team. And it's amazing how many companies we speak to where they say, well, we want to measure the success. And we say, well, how are you capturing those leads at the moment? How are you capturing when a prospect comes through? How are you asking them where they saw you? What drove that? What triggered that inquiry? 9 times out of 10, saying we don't, or we do, and it's never accurately captured, or they're not asking the right questions. And what they need to be doing is making sure that they are really drilling down and making sure that the sales team have a very scripted or very accurate way of asking, or automated system that captures where exactly that lead has come from, because then also the sales team, can then craft their message and their sales message around that, because if they know that it's become through, say, they've seen the CEO interviewed in the Times about X, they know then that is what's driven that prospect's interest. So then they can then craft their sales message around that message that's been read. So it's, you know, it's got to be really interlinked. But so first of all, it's got to be starting at the very point at which that lead comes in, that is being captured. And then you can then look at trends through things like Google Analytics. You can then compare press coverage, for example, has been activated. If you've run a campaign, you can see if there's correlation between the website traffic and that campaign. Looking at mentions as well is a very effective way to see how people are engaging with the brand. You know, has the number of people that are starting to talk about your brand increased? And that then shows that you're out there, you're building that interest, you're captivating customers' interest. And there are things like focus groups that you could be doing before and after campaigns to see if people are becoming more aware of your brand. So it's a whole chain, really, but it has to start. You must ensure that your sales team is accurately capturing that data lead generation information.
So, Chris, I'd like to look a little bit at the journey of a brand from birth to maturity. If you can bear with me, you'll understand why in a sec. Because I was thinking, for a startup or a young company, that the holy grail is nearly always sales, you know, and sales now, frankly, because they're often a necessity to feed the sort of omniscient god of cash flow. So assuming a young company succeeds at this stage and moves towards a more stable and mature basis, is it difficult for them to make the switch, do you think, from that short-term sales tomorrow kind of thing that they almost had to do by necessity when they started out, to that more mature, longer-term strategy?
I think the longer you pursue short-term sales-driving activities in isolation, I believe it's the harder it is to adjust that towards a balance of long and short-term, because you grow accustomed to doing short-term activity that delivers results, and delivers results tomorrow or next week. And then to make that mental shift that says I have to invest some money that I might not see a return on for 6 months or 12 months is a difficult one to make. I would absolutely encourage people to come at it from the start as early as you can, that focuses your kind of investment in terms of pure financial terms on the short term. So getting materials developed, offering discounts for the first purchase, or, you know, that kind of, you know, initial deals to incentivize people to come in, but balance it with things that maybe don't have the financial thing, because there is a lot of media, there are a lot of channels to reach customers now that require time but less effort. So social media, places like LinkedIn and social media, it is possible to, and digital platforms, it is possible to build a profile for a business and a voice with relatively little investment. And yes, you might then choose to invest further in that to expand your reach later. But you can do that. And this is where I would say that your thinking is this giving away of content and having an opinion that is relevant to your category, if not to your just talking about your products. So that people who are more broadly interested in the sort of thing you do might see you and go, oh, that's interesting, because the social media platform and LinkedIn will post your feeds to them. If they've said, I'm interested in these widgets and that category, and you start talking about widgets and categories, the social media platform will start going, oh, right, well, you might be interested in this post and this post, and they do your work for you, or at least some of it. But having that from the start makes it easier, I think, to make the mental adjustment. You're absolutely right. It can be, if you focus only on the short term, it can be hard to make that change. And it does take a reasonably bold and enlightened, in some extent, person to, you know, business owner to go, that is what I want to do. And I recognize that need. If I'm going to scale my business now and go from where I am, which is great, to something that's much bigger, you do have to take that leap of, well, leap of faith is perhaps too strong a word, but certainly you have to make that adjustment that enables you to accept what the changing ways you need to behave.
I guess in some ways it is a leap of faith, isn't it? Because you are, as you say, you're investing in what might happen in a year's time, and that does take a certain self-belief and a belief in what you're doing. Verity, Chris mentioned channels there, digital channels particularly. When you're dealing with clients, you know, who are looking at long-term brand building, does it matter which channels you use? I mean, presumably it depends a little bit on the industry and the type of thing they're talking about and that sort of stuff. I mean, how do you deal with that?
So with the media, we use it for short and long-term activity. So if they've got, you know, an announcement that they want to get out quickly, it might link to a new product or new development, or then we'll use that as a way, as a channel to build awareness, and that might then link and feed back into a wider marketing campaign that maybe they're offering a discount on that product or service. But equally, we use those same media channels for long-term gain. So for thought leadership, for if the organisation wants to be positioned and repositioned to be aligned with something, for example, their sustainability or their work with the community, then that is something that's got to be considered long-term, and it's part of the whole brand proposition and the value. And that's not something that is going to, you know, sort of be a short-term gain. So we'll use a lot of media activity, social, a whole integrated program for that, with social media, press activity. And again, though, you could be linking it to reports where they've got white papers, they've got corporate reports. So there isn't specific channels for specific activity, but you can just use them differently. The tactics can change.
I would absolutely say that the most important thing to have is, and this was all over my LinkedIn feed yesterday, there was a discussion about it, the most important thing is to have a brand idea. What is your brand about? What do you stand for? Not just what do you do, but what do you care about? What's your position on the world and your role in the world? And that doesn't have to be a changing the world, saving the planet thing. It can be a relatively small, tightly defined thing. But once you have that idea, then it's about bringing that idea to life in channels. People who say, oh, we want to be on social media. Why? Why do you want to be on social media? Is it because that's where your audience are, et cetera, et cetera? And what are you going to say to them? Why will they care about what you say? What is your purpose there? Why will people pay attention to you and be interested? So have a brand idea, have something that is behind what you are saying, rather than just shouting into the void and hoping somebody will listen once in a while. And don't go channel first. It's what is your idea? Who are you talking to? And where will they best, most likely to take notice? And that should decide and influence which channels you choose to use. I'm quite skeptical of clients if they say to me, you know, we want to do this channel, and they're very certain about that channel. My first question will be, why is that channel the right one for you? And if it's hard to explain, other than that's where everybody is, then we might have a conversation about what is it? Well, then why will they care about us?
So in the end, this long-term versus short-term thing, it seems from this conversation that it's about balance. Clearly, you certainly have to do both. And it's about knowing that for your particular brand, your particular business, what that balance should be. Is that a fair way of summing it up, do you think, Verity?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it has to be, as I sort of said at the beginning, it has to be a balance, short-term and long-term. They both work. They both got different purposes. They both generate different types of results. So it's coming back to, you know, what's the business trying to achieve, and making sure that balance of long and short-term align to that. And I think if you haven't got the long-term awareness, then you are missing a trick, because all you're doing is capturing those customers that are interested there and then, and they have no relationship with the brand.
And Chris, final word from you on balance.
I absolutely agree. Balance is important, and I would encourage anyone to think about it as early as they can in their cycle, and if they're not already thinking about it, straight away. Because even in consumer-facing B2C markets and categories, people aren't thinking about brands that often, and so building up a residual and underlying awareness and consideration is really important, and that needs a balance of the two, long and short term. And in B2B markets, the buying decisions and changing from what they've currently done happens rarely. It's not something that happens every week. businesses like longer term relationships. And so just by saying buy now, automatically actually can turn people off rather than being useful to the customer. This is the point about the difference between a sales problem and a buying problem. You need to be useful to the customer. The more useful you are to your potential customers, the more you are improving your buying environment. And that is done by longer term activity, because buy now is all about me wanting you to buy my products. The longer term is about helping you.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you, Verity. You've been listening to the PR podcast with me, Dave Harris, and my regular guest, Verity Blake of Head On PR. Thanks again to our special guest, Chris Moody, founder of Mobius Strategy. You can find out more about Mobius at www.mobiusstrategy.co.uk. If you've enjoyed the podcast and found Chris and Verity's insight useful, then please tell your colleagues and friends and share and subscribe to hear future episodes on the art of public relations for business. For more information about Head On PR, visit the website at www.headonpr.co.uk. We look forward to you joining us for our next episode, but in the meantime, stay well and thanks for listening.